The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed. The number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name do you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At a circuit pastor's meeting, they call them winkles sometimes, this past couple weeks ago, I was reminded of a viral video that was very popular. It's got to be several years old by now, but it was a video of a helpless, defenseless, desperate sheep in need of a rescue. Of course, with a video clip, you don't always get the full context of what happened, but it looked as if someone had dug a trench, a long, narrow trench into a ditch or something like this, and in order to bury like a pipeline. It was maybe 2 feet wide, who knows how long or how deep, I should say. But they say that the sheep aren't the brightest creatures in the world. I really don't know. I don't have all that much, like zero experience with sheep. At least with real sheep, that is. I don't have a lot of experience. But being rather dim creatures, If there is a 2-foot wide gap or chasm dug into the earth, what does a sheep do? Naturally, it jumps right in it. A full head first send it right into the dark cavern. And of course, it gets stuck, royally so. The video starts with a young man, a boy, really, very young man, and essentially a modern day shepherd, this boy would have been. He's grabbing the stuck sheep by its hind leg, and he's working to free the sheep as it's fighting, of course. He's working to free the sheep, and eventually he lifts it up out of the trench, puts it on solid, firm ground, saving the sheep. With a newfound lease on life and overflowing with joy, the sheep starts bouncing away. Does it stay next to our young shepherd? No. Does it follow where he leads? No. Instead, it flees the scene. It takes off, and as it flees, it tries to hurdle that same trench, and as it's hurtling, it goes whoop, right back in, head first into the trench. I have to admit, that's a pretty good illustration for Good Shepherd Sunday. Because, yeah, we, sheep, Christ's sheep, but we are like that sheep. The Good Shepherd, by profound effort, has freed us from our own bumbling stupidity. The Son of God became a man. He laid down his life. He took it back up again in order to free us from the helpless situation that we ourselves have caused by diving headfirst into the chasm of sin. If left in that condition, we would die, and we would die eternally. But he has pulled us up out of the abyss. He has washed us clean with the water and the word, and he has set us firmly on solid ground. Now, what do? We should stay close to our dear good shepherd. We should hear his voice, listen to his voice, and follow where he leads. But so often, we listen to other voices, and we follow where they lead, including our own voice. And these voices of not our good shepherd, but other voices, competing voices, are intent on separating us from the flock, but also from our good shepherd. Because, of course, when you're separated from the flock or separated from the good shepherd, you are easy pickings. And we foolishly go out then on our own way. And there's danger all the way. Even if there's the narrowest of trenches before us, we'll do it. We'll bounce right into it, head first send it, trapped and helpless, bleeding out for help again and again and again. And what does our good shepherd do? He would be perfectly just and right in saying, well, I told you to stay close to me. I told you to follow where I lead. Now you've gone and you've got yourself stuck again. You can get yourself unstuck. But that's not in our good shepherd's nature, is it? It's not who he is. Just as no one took his life from him, but he laid it down of his own accord, of his own good and gracious will, our loving, gracious Father sent his Son, and he pursues us. He follows us. He comes after us again and again and again, and he lifts us up out of the chasm, and he puts us safely on his shoulders till he brings us to solid ground. Every single time that we go astray, he comes after us. And that's what the Good Shepherd is here for you once again this morning to do. If it were up to you to get yourself unstuck from death, from the devil, and from sin pressing upon you on all sides, if it were up to you, well, then you really would have no need to be sitting here in these pews this morning. If it were up to you to get yourself unstuck, you would have no need to be forgiven, to be renewed, to be born again in the water and the word. You would have no need to hear the freeing words of the absolution that your sins are forgiven. And you certainly would have no need to commune with a Savior who you don't need. No, by God's grace, you know that you do need God's grace. Because without the Good Shepherd, you're stuck. You're trapped. There's no escape. You are left dead in your trespasses and sin. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for you, the sheep. He's no hired hand. He's not going to flee when trouble comes. He owns you, the sheep. As it says in the small catechism, he purchased and won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver. This is from 1 Peter as well. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. He purchased you. You belong to him. In the waters of baptism, he sanctified you and he made you his. He called you to belong to him. He is yours and you are his. And when the wolf then, that is Satan in our text today, when the wolf comes, and he does come, he will come, when he comes to scatter the sheep and with his lies and his false teachings, and he will lie, he will have false teaching, he will have many voices competing for your heart and mind. The good shepherd, though, never flees. He's no hired hand. Others very well might abandon you and flee, trying to save their own skin. But the good shepherd will never flee. He will never abandon you because he loves you and he cares for you. You are his. And he will do what is necessary to guard and protect you from that. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. How? Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. So just as intimately as God the Father knows God the Son, Jesus, and the Son knows the Father, in that loving relationship that is a mystery to us, bound up in the Holy Trinity, into that same intimate love the Father has for you, yes, the Father has for you, as well as the Son has for you. He has called you by name. You are his. He has laid down his life for you, the sheep. And this is, as Jesus says in our text, this is his job. This is his mission. This is his office. This is what he is sent to do, the charge, as we ended our gospel reading, the charge that he has received from the Father. Because the Father, of course, loves you too. The Son has the authority to lay down his life and the authority to take it back up again. That is why the Father sent him. That is why he has come to save what he has come to accomplish in order to save us lost, helpless sheep. But Jesus says this flock includes not just the Jews, that's who he's speaking to in our text, but the other sheep that are not of this fold, the Gentiles, those sheep not of his fold will be brought into the kingdom of God. The church will be one, he says, with one shepherd. Sadly, the church's unity here in this life, in this world, is hidden from our eyes. In this sinful world, we see divisions. We see schisms. We see broken fellowships with churches that we are not in communion fellowship with. But sadly, this disunity exists. However, it is not the fault of the Good Shepherd. He has given us his word. He has given us the pure doctrine in the pages of Scripture, but as sinful, wandering sheep, man refuses to listen to every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, causing some, many, to foolishly think that they have the ability to get themselves unstuck and to do what is within them to save themselves, while others bury their heads in the sand and refuse to acknowledge the grave situation of sin and death and the devil, and pretend like it's no big deal. But when the end finally comes, we will see what we now confess with our mouth to be true, we will see with our eyes, that there is only one holy Christian and apostolic church. Purely by God's grace, you and I have been brought into this one holy Christian and apostolic church. You see, we sheep are completely passive, utterly dependent upon our good shepherd for our rescue, for our protection, and to be led into safety, not only here in this life, but eternally into the green pastures of safety. The good shepherd has brought us into this one flock. He has placed his name upon us. He has given us the Holy Spirit in holy baptism, and baptized into this flock, we can rest assured that we are his, we belong to him, and he is ours forever. By God's grace, we stay close to our Good Shepherd by listening, by hearing his voice. For our Jesus Christ is our living shepherd, and we are his living flock. And when he speaks his living and active word upon us, it does something. It does that which it is intended to do. It truly forgives you. It truly rescues you from the chasm of sin, death, and the devil. It makes you to lie down in green pastures. It restores your soul beside still waters. It restores your soul, really, it converts your whole life, is what that means. It leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It comforts you. Yes, even when that time comes that you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear because he will never abandon you. He is always with you. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. And the Hebrew there is actually quite a bit stronger there in Psalm 23. Not only is he going to follow you, but his goodness and his mercy are going to pursue you. It's going to come after you. It's going to save you over and over again, relentlessly coming after you because he loves you. You are his. And you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Lord says in verse 16 of our gospel reading, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also that they may listen to my voice. Thanks be to God that his living and active word continues to bring others into the flock, into the fold. Right? If you take a look around, we are not a flock of one. It's not just you. Now that we've graciously all been brought in, forgiven, rescued, restored, comforted, given this newfound lease on life and overflowing with joy, we remain close to our Good Shepherd by hearing his voice and by abiding in his word and in his commandments. That's what our epistle reading says. That sounds so legalistic, doesn't it? Obey my commandments. But as our epistle in verse 23 says, this is his commandment, that you believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded. Faith followed by love. Faith and love. Listening to the voice of our Good Shepherd, we gladly follow where he leads. And where he leads is to love one another. Not in some vague worldly sense of the word love, not just in word, but in deed, in truth. We love one another as he loves, helping and serving one another. Yes, even physically with worldly goods. If someone comes to you in need, you help them, you feed them, you clothe them. For we lay down our lives for the sake of our brothers because we have Christ. And we do this in whatever vocations that we have been given to do, father, mother, husband, wife, daughter, mother, etc. Whatever vocation it might be, we lay down our life for the sake of the other. Because we are one flock, and we have one loving, good shepherd. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.